Good morning and welcome to Sunday Morning Public Affairs on CFAX 1070, Victoria's News Authority. My name is Bob Russell. I'll be your host today. I'm joined in the studio, as always, by my co-host, John Jurisic, owner, Harbor Digital Media, past president of the Greater Victoria Chamber of Commerce, and current director of the BC Chamber of Commerce. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Bob. This is a special day.
Yes.
It is the start of the National Football League.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Okay. Okay. Well, we'll try not to run over time. Okay. We have a Twitter feed for those of you who may want to contact us during the show with a question or comment. John, can you explain that one?
Yeah, you bet. So just include hashtag SUNAMPA, hashtag SUNAMPA. You post a question, a comment, edit, criticism. We'll pick it up.
Yes. Basically, we can't promise that it will get on air, but we can promise that it won't if you don't. Now, John, just one question. Is it still just your photograph on the Twitter page?
Well, if we're going to have, you know, handsome, intelligent people on there, the answer is yes.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to check. And just so you know, you're wearing a suit, are you not, in the Twitter feed?
Of course I am.
Yeah, wouldn't that be nice? In any event, folks, in the second
our guest just left.
Okay. In the second hour of our show today, Victoria City Councillor and community activist Lisa Helps will join us for politics, politics, politics. That's right. We haven't forgotten about it. We were just taking a little rest while everyone else was as well over the summer. But summer is over and the political season is upon us, so we will be discussing what's likely to dominate our national and provincial political agendas over the coming year. In the first hour, however, we'll be focusing on something we'll be addressing often on this show. How do we create economic development? In a country where so much of our growth is taken for granted because of the resources we were fortunate enough to find under our feet, we simply don't discuss it enough. Today we're going to be looking at a business park development being proposed by the Victoria Airport Authority. That's right. The airport is apparently more than just a place where planes take off and land that has big parking lots and the dumbest highway interchange on the planet.
hey, Gary Lund's coming on soon.
joining us in the studio is Terry Stewart, Director of Marketing and Community Relations at the Victoria Airport Authority. Welcome to the show, Terry.
Good morning, Bob.
We had to chain him in.
Okay. Let's start off by, when most people think about airports, they do just think about planes taking off and landing and so on. I mean, there's been a change in how airports are managed over the last 25 years. Explain to us a little bit, just, to provide some context, like who is the Victoria Airport Authority? How is it constituted? Where does this mandate come from? Basically, just who are you?
Okay, Bob. About 25 years ago, all of the airports, there's 165 of them, were all owned and operated by Transport Canada. And on the day, the government of the day looked at it and thought about a business model that was sucking the treasury dry and started then to look at, where were the key determining factors on passenger and cargo activity. And what they basically figured out that was 25 airports across the country handled 90% of the passenger and cargo loads. And what they did there in the early 90s is started to devolve airports into community-based airport authorities that were not-for-profit corporations. So there are about 20 real airport authorities across the country. Victoria is the 10th busiest authority. The model is very much the same across the country. In Victoria, as an example, we are a not-for-profit corporation. All the revenues that we generate are brought back into the company, back into the facilities. In 15 years, we've put $90 million worth of improvements into the facilities. So when you start to look at it, how are we constituted? Well, we're constituted by appointments from municipalities, the chambers of commerce, the province, and the federal government. So Victoria's model, two from Sydney, two from North Saanich, one from Central Saanich, one from Saanich. Victoria has an appointment. The Chamber of Commerce has an appointment. The province has an appointment, and the feds have two appointments. So when you look at a community-based airport, especially in the model that Victoria has, you can see that our focus really has been shifted from the federal government to a community-based domain. Mm-hmm. And frankly, over the last 15 years, that has been our focus. And, you know, we spent an enormous amount of energy and activity in serving our catchment area. And a catchment area basically is everything south of Duncan. We're looking at about 400,000 people. And when we look at what our role is, well, we're servants to all of those 400,000 people and trying to generate economic activity. And that was the key component of why the federal government moved airports out. And so, I mean, there was a brilliant business move on their part. They had staff. They had capital initiatives. They had, you know, they had operating issues. All of that shifted to the community. And here we are 15 years later, and things are cooking in mm-hmm. this city and at our airport.
So, Terry, let's talk a little bit about just the mechanics, the physicality of who's on the land and where does the land – Where are the boundaries? Because I think folks generally, Victoria Airport Authority, there's the runway, there's the actual terminal, but there's a whole bunch of stuff going on that folks might not suspect belongs under your purview.
You know, the beauty of an airport like Victoria's in 1938, when the federal government looked at a large tract of land and looked at the future for the community, they bought and expropriated almost 1,200 acres. And, you know, the key to that is obviously has always been sort of our primary function, our front door is a runway and a terminal building, moving people back and forth and cargo along with it. But there are all kinds of subsidiary aviation-oriented businesses. And we've been very, very lucky at Victoria to be able to have solid growth in that area. Viking Air is an example, one of our biggest tenants. They've been on site for about 25 years. They currently have about 450 people working, a payroll of about $5 million a month, generating all kinds of economic activity and key jobs in this community. Vancouver Island Helicopters is located at the airport. They overhaul all their Sikorsky helicopters. This is a major company, Ken Norrie, who owns that company outright.
A third or fourth largest helicopter company in the world. They do business all over the place.
Everywhere you turn around, they're there. We've got models in that regard, aviation oriented. We've got the D&D 443 Squadron, big employer.
Where is that part?
They're on the west side, okay. And they're currently building a $115 million new hangar. It's bringing all kinds of fantastic construction jobs back into this community. It is a message from the federal government that they want that helicopter squadron continue to be located at the airport. It's the biggest building north of Uptown. It's actually the building that they're putting together right now. It'll be bigger than our terminal building. Again, another icon of development and security for jobs and economic activity in this community. So, I mean, we've been lucky on the aviation side, but on the other part of it, we've been very lucky on the ability to take some of our lands that aren't directly keyed to our airfield and put non-airport-related developments. Our biggest announcement has been Thrifty's opening.
We just have to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we'll continue talking to Terry Stewart from the Victoria Airport Authority.
You've locked your doors.
Come on.
You think you're safe.
What?
But you can't stop.
No. Oh. Oh.
The arrival of your bills. CFAX 1070 understands. That's why we're giving you a chance to beat your bills. Head over to the all-new CFAX1070.com and show us the bill you want taken care of. Then listen for Al Farabee to announce your name weekday mornings at 7:10. You can win $50 to spend at Red Barn Market, taking the pressure off your food bill. And you'll qualify to have CFAX 1070 pay up to $500 to beat your bills. To enter and for full details, head to CFAX1070.com. Don't yell at your bills.
Get away! No! Too many!
Beat your bills. Beat your bills with Red Barn Market and Victoria's News Authority. CFAX 1070.
Need cash today? Got some old jewelry lying around? Bring it to Old and Gold and exchange it for cash. For your old gold and silver, they'll beat any price in town. Old and Gold at Ford and Douglas. Online at goldvictoria.com.
Need cash today? Got some gold, DVDs, bikes, cameras, video games, and tools? You know, stuff lying around? Bring it into Barclays and exchange it for money. You'll see why they're the Pawn Stars of Victoria. Barclays Exchange in Chinatown, 516 Fisgard.
Hey, Victoria, Brian Higgins here for Arona Bay West Express, centrally located 5 minutes from downtown. At Bay West Rona, we have designers and door specialists on staff for your convenience. Let us design and install your new kitchen, bathroom, or custom-sized door system. Or you can try our line of cash-and-carry kitchen cabinets and countertops. Come and see us, the right people, the right store, the right price. Rona Bay West Express, doing it right 7 days a week on Bay and Wilson in Vic West.
Silent but deadly. Whatever you do, do not let it get on your roof.
You won't ever have to worry about moss growth again. Give your roof its best defense against moss growth with Thompson Roof Treatment. Thompson's exclusive program will ensure that your cedar or asphalt roof is free of moss. Treat your roof with Thompson Roof Treatment every 2 to 3 years, and you'll also be protecting your roof's warranty. Moss, it's lurking out there, and it must be stopped. Call Thompson Roof Treatment, 385-3124.
Crawling through Colwood, packed on the Pat Bay, mixed up on Mackenzie, and maneuvering through the Malahat, first with traffic. If it's happening, it's here. Victoria's News Authority, CFAX 1070.
Welcome back. You're listening to Sunday Morning Public Affairs on CFAX 1070, Victoria's News Authority. My name's Bob Russell. I'm your host. I'm joined, as usual, by John Jurisic. We've been talking to Terry Stewart, the Victoria Airport Authority. John, can you just quickly remind everyone of the Twitter address again?
Hashtag SUNAMPA, S-U-N-A-M-P-A.
Okay, good. Now, you were just in the middle of asking...
Yeah, I wanted to build upon clearly an exciting theme that's going on out that way. We talk about an airport or D&D building a hangar, 110, 115 mil, Viking Air, 500 employees, VIH helicopters, third, fourth largest in the world. This is more than an airport. This Yep. is an economic development entity. And I don't entirely think the public understand the extent of development that's happening and has happened out your way. You have a business park coming along. There are numerous businesses, manufacturing interests on the periphery just up from Sydney. Talk a little bit about, for lack of a better phrase, the 15th municipality. We say everything's going on in the West Shore. We say that that's the place to be. Guess what? I think numbers-wise, it's over with you guys.
Well, you know, John, thanks for that comment. And, you know, when you look at an airport, it is a small city. And we've got everything from a fire hall to a police department and all the infrastructure that you would imagine in a small community we manage and operate. You know, we've been very lucky, again, as I said earlier, to have some vast tracts of land. And one of the biggest excitements that we've got right now, we've been looking at a 43-acre parcel that we worked in collaborative terms with the District of North Saanich to have rezoned into a light industrial business park. Now, our vision for the park really is to try to find a higher-ended clients so that we're generating higher-paying jobs. And one of the themes that have been going through, obviously, the peninsula is the affordability of housing. We want to be able to provide jobs that pay higher, the people that can actually afford to live on the peninsula and or afford a commute, make their decision in that regard. That said, we've got an agrarian setting, 43 acres that's forested. There's a creek that runs around it. There's a bike path that's attached to it. You know, it's flat land. It's going to provide excellent access from the airport to the ferries. You know, we're looking at an eco-organized, engineered type of development, low-level, high-ended. We're not begging for first up, first come serve. We're looking at highest and best use. We were looking at some high-tech. We're looking at some serious office opportunity for architects and engineers, the synergy that comes with that. We're looking at... And some light manufacturing, like we were lucky enough 15 years ago to get Scott Plastics. A lot of good jobs, but clean industry is what we're looking for. And we want to develop this park as a as an icon, an economic icon, but as a, as well as an environmental icon for the airport and certainly for the community.
What I'm intrigued about is in economic development issues is the role of government. And we've examined this in previous shows, and we continue to try to figure this out. And so even though the Airport Authority, obviously not a government, you're your own entity, there are variables within that business model that are public sector, have public sector elements to them. So when we're talking about a business park, we have one in Saanich, a tech park. Yeah. Are there efficiencies on the land costs that you can pass to businesses? Is this something that helps promote economic development, promotes these sorts of things?
Well, you know, that's a terrific question, you know, to a marketing guy that's looking for, you know, highest rent that possible. It's definitely a unique circumstance at the airport. We don't own the property. We actually have a 60-year almost an 80-year term with the federal government, and then that'll be renewed and recovered on an ongoing basis. What we provide is long-term leases at very attractive land rental rates, which, you know, it's our fiduciary responsibility to sort of help and generate economic activity and at the same time generate some alternative revenue flows so that we can cross-subsidize our aviation businesses so we can get more airlines in here so we can keep our aviation fees low. And then, and more importantly, that we can, you know, we can be able to, you know, to go to the banks and help us finance our future, a collective future for the community too. So, we are you know, effectively subsidizing land rentals when you look at market value, but you know, the real value to the airport and the community is key to getting as many good businesses, well-paying jobs.
Terry, don't misunderstand me. That's not a bad thing.
No.
When it generates so many things, you know.
And I agree. That's the deal. Right.
And this is where I was going to go. I mean, you know, just to make sure our listeners understand where we're coming from. I mean, you know, government can do a lot of different things. Most people, when they think about government and economic development, they think about them, you know, writing a check and building a bridge, something like that. But here we're sitting in a situation where the airport is sitting on federal crown land and has, you know, crown leases with the federal government, which, you know, historically have, you know, been not been market rates, you know, that you know, it's a challenge for the government to do that, actually. But it does provide you with an advantage that you are then able to pass along to others. And in a way, it's, you know, it is, in effect, in public finance, you would refer to that, you know, as an expenditure, you know, and whenever you can't, as the public treasury, recover what, you know, the market would dictate, or whenever you provide a tax break, that's called a tax expenditure. I mean, that is a public subsidy. But, you know, sounds to me like it might be a pretty good one.
Well, you know, we're not subsidized by government, though. That's the other interesting part of it. We're paying a considerable amount of money every year to the federal government for the joy of running the airport. Mm-hmm. And we were beaten up and beat back the federal government on our rent rates for a long, long time. And you know, Gary Lund was very supportive in helping us in mm-hmm. that regard. He's on later, and he should get some kudos for that. Yeah. And our board of directors that fought the fight. You know, we've been on the line over the last 4 or 5 years for a new runway extension at the airport, looking for federal and provincial funding. You know, on a P3 arrangement.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And the deal there is that we're not getting that kind of support from the federal government or the mm-hmm. provincial government. We're going to have to do it alone. I mean, that's a whole different subject about where we're going in the future.
Yeah.
We're just finishing up a master plan. We're looking at about $180 million worth of needed, required investment, some expansionary, and a lot of it restoration over the next 10 years. Mm-hmm. And where do we find that? Well, we find that in those land rents. We find those in mm-hmm. in those kinds of deals that generate real economic activity, but at the same time pay for the nuts and bolts of what we have to do to maintain and run that airport for this community.
So what you're really saying is that, you know, you started off the show by talking about the history
yeah.
of airports. They used to be a revenue hole.
Yes.
It's where the taxpayer used yeah. to just pour money good money after bad often.
Yep.
And what's happened now is that the advantage, any advantages you have by having been on federal crown land, you've actually, by going to this new business model, you've become a revenue producer for the government.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And yeah. And on top of that, not just for the federal government, but the local municipalities.
Right.
We pay an inordinate amount of taxes to Sydney and North Saanich.
Yeah.
And all of our businesses pay the same kind of taxes. Those municipalities are directly run on the backs of the real key businesses that are out there. We run an industrial plant, the biggest industrial plant, you know, on this island. Let's get that straight and clear. I mean, you know, we're a revenue generator, but we're also a tax generator in a considerable way. So, I mean, it's a terrific business model where we've been managing it very prudently. Got an excellent board, successive boards that look at it and say, look, let's not build the Taj Mahal. Let's build what we need, when we need it, and keep moving. And we've been very successful. The economy's gone for a crap, and we're still moving along. We're not begging. We're tired of, you know, like this whole business of begging up, federal and provincial money. We're moving ahead with our own plans, and we'll do what we can do when we can do it. And accommodate that through our own business process. So we're not government. We're business. This is a great business model. It's not a big business. It's a small business. We generate about $25 million worth of revenues. We save about $11 million bucks to push back into the system to keep the thing running. And like you say, over a 10-year period, when you're looking at $180 million requirements, you know, we need $15 million a year. And so that's where those generated revenues for developments are coming from. That's why we need them.
I think it's a great example of how government, private sector, business, et cetera, can work together to generate jobs,
yep.
to generate economic development activity. Let's talk a little bit about the future.
Sure.
By looking a little bit in the past.
Yep.
And in 2009, as chamber chair, worked with Gary Lunn and a variety of different folks. That was the time when we were looking at where to put incentive money. That was coming from the feds after the crash of 2008.
Yep.
And collectively, the region decided and consistently has decided, let's extend the runway. Mm-hmm. All right?
Here, here.
And somehow or another, we got an interchange. However, let's talk about the viability now and where that can go. Is that still something that can happen? Is that forever too expensive to happen? What is the situation around extending the runway and that being actually happening one day?
It's going to happen. The economic benefits attribute to the community. I mean, when you're looking at a $30 million project, I mean, it's difficult. I mean, it's beyond our ability to pay. That's why we came cap in hand to the feds and the province for a split. And what we've done, we've been chewing up some of that work into that capital program list that I was talking about. So, you know, what we actually did too is we went to Boeing. We very innovative approach that our new CEO took. Go to Boeing and figure out every aircraft in the fleet of every airline, charter and carrier, and figure out what do they need. Okay, what do they need to take off to get to London as an example. And let's just find out what our bare minimums are, okay? And then let's go back to those airlines and say, hey, look, here's what we're going to do. So we were looking at 1,500 feet because that's the extent of what we can build inside the confines of our boundaries. And the realities of going outside those boundaries to Pat Bay and in the Bay and over into Sydney, just impossible. So let's not dream about doing anything like that. So we could get 1,500 feet. If we get 1,500 feet, where could we go? We've done some analysis with Boeing, and we're looking at about 700 feet that'll get us to London, okay, and that cuts our budget by about 50%. So now we're looking at, okay, what are we going to do now? So how can we put that into our own package? At the same time, we still got our hand out saying, hey, look, we could use some help, and we want that help. But we're looking at 2015, maybe 2016, bringing on that extension to that runway, which would get us service to London.
I think it's great that we understand that the airport and its adjacent lands and businesses are a significant economic development driver for this region. Thank you, Terry, for enlightening us on these issues.
Thanks for the opportunity.
We just have to take a quick commercial break. We'll be back in a second.
Shop, spin, and win with Save-On Foods for a chance to win a Caribbean cruise for four and more great prizes. Plus, get Quaker Chewy Granola Bars, 156 grams, card price $5 for $10. Or Kraft Single Slices or Cheese Whiz, card price just $3.99 each. Visit Save-On Foods and shopandspin.com for complete details. Save-On Foods, BC's very own since 1915.
Guten Tag, it is I, your car. Yeah, it is true, I am made by the world's best engineers, but that does not mean I am made of magic and moonbeams, yeah? I am metal and oil. No oil, no me, and I simply cannot allow that. Lucky for us both, there's Mr. Loop down the street. They have everything I need, even the vibro blades. So you take care of me, and I will continue our arrangement.
Get top to bottom maintenance from Mr. Lube and take good care.
Lake.
Mountains.
Lake.
Mountains.
Lake.
Mountains.
Move into your new Glen Heights condo at West Hills this September. Come see the three new furnished display suites for yourself, featuring your choice of granite or quartz counters throughout, radiant in-floor heating, and you pick from a view of the lake or the mountains.
Lake.
Mountains.
Lake.
Mountains.
Lake.
Good luck. Glen Heights condos at West Hills starting at $269.9. Find West Hills. Find home. More at westhillsbc.com.
The grand opening sale is in its final days at the all-new Dodds Furniture and Mattress location in Nanaimo and Dodds in Victoria.
Both stores are overflowing with furniture for every room in your home, so hurry in while the phenomenal specials last.
Plus, Dodds has Canada's largest Serta mattress gallery with over 40 beds to choose from.
With nothing down, no interest, and no payments for a full year, you'll save even more. The grand opening sale ends soon at Dodds Furniture and Mattress.
715 Finlayson across from Mayfair and now in Nanaimo.
Japanese food priced right. You want some? You'll find it at Osaka Sushi on Oak Bay Avenue. I'm talking miso soup Mondays, California roll Tuesdays, half-price appetizer Wednesdays, teriyaki beef and chicken roll Thursdays, sake and beer specials Fridays and Saturdays, and on Sundays, half-price tempura. 7 days, seven specials. Osaka Sushi, the perfect place for a business lunch or a fun dinner. Just minutes from downtown, parking is free. Try Osaka Sushi on Oak Bay Avenue, one block shy of Val Bay Road.
When news breaks, Victoria turns to CFAX 1070. News, weather, traffic. When you need to know. If it's happening, it's here. Victoria's News Authority, CFAX 1070.
Welcome back to Sunday Morning Public Affairs on CFAX 1070, Victoria's News Authority. We've been talking about Victoria Airport and its role it's playing in some local economic development. Terry Stewart from the Airport Authority is staying with us right now. We're joined in the studio by Ken Lewis, President and CEO of SeaStar Chemicals, Inc. Ken, Ken, welcome to the show, and thank you for coming in. First of all, explain to me and how you relate to all of this, what we've been talking about.
Sure. Thanks for having me here today. I guess one of the things that's quite interesting about this is that, in fact, when we're talking about business on the airport land, SeaStar Chemicals owns property in Sydney, has been in business since as a separate entity since 1987. But we also have leased land on the airport.
Good tenant.
Yeah, we're a good tenant.
Yeah, they pay on time?
We love SeaStar.
Okay.
We pay on time.
They pay on time. Okay. They pay.
They pay.
Very, very successful.
And we're developing and growing.
Yeah. We love that too.
And you know, the industrial community in Sydney has been pretty good and growing.
I think and you, Ken and I and a variety of other manufacturing interests out that way have within the last year felt it appropriate to start to organize a voice. Mm-hmm. That voice turned into an entity called the Sydney Industrial Group. Mm-hmm. Ken is a co-founder along with Robert and Richardson of Scotties and Greg Ramsey of Ramsey Group. Mm-hmm. Ken, perhaps talk a little bit about why that had to happen. What are the issues out there that are impacting your businesses? What is the size of some of those businesses out there collectively? How many employees? I mean, I don't think people get that.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, it's interesting. And that's the way that this association started. It became really obvious that there wasn't a lot of visibility in the area to the impact that the manufacturing and industrial sector has on that part of the peninsula. We started with the three companies that you just mentioned. The association now has approximately 15
yeah.
companies.
Yeah.
We have some statistics. We pulled some information together, and just to collect information about what we contribute to the community and what that means. Collectively, there's about $650 million in revenues generated just by the industrial sector in
that
area.
That's crazy. I don't think our listeners get that.
Yeah.
That's huge.
It's huge. It's huge. We pay out about $110 million in payroll.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a whole bunch of dollars that are going into the hands of our employees that could be spent locally.
Mm-hmm.
There's over 2,000 employees.
2,000 employees.
Yeah.
Man.
And an interesting statistic that came out of all the things we were talking about, only 26% of the employees that work in that area live in the Sydney and North Saanich area.
Mm. So 75% of them are commuting daily.
Yeah.
Do we have a sense of how many are coming from the West Shore? Down that ugly congestion every morning?
I think we got some stats on that. I think it was close to 25%.
Get out.
25% are coming from the West Shore.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the big challenges, I mean, there's a lot of growth happening that in that area as well. I mean, we've expanded our employee base by 20% just this year alone.
Hmm.
Some of the companies that are part of that association are names that a lot of people have heard. A number of them are tenants on the airport's land. There's Axis Analytical Services, the Epicures, Nicholson,
mm-hmm.
Ramsey's, Scott Plastic, C-Star. Some of the more visible
ones. Stantec.
Yeah. Thrifty Foods, of course.
Yeah.
And they're a visible name in the community.
So all of a sudden, what we think of as sleepy little Sydney... Sorry, Mr. Mayor. All of a sudden, we think of North Saanich, the peninsula, as a place to go retire. Isn't.
No, it's
and
not.
All of a sudden, there are issues relating to the growth of the airport's related business interests, the Sydney Industrial Group members. What are some of those issues? Can you talk about that?
Well, one of the big issues is the ability to hire and retain employees in the area. It's a huge challenge. And there's a lot of growth happening. Like I said, we're growing. I know that Viking Air, I think, hired in excess of 200 employees over the last 2 years.
Yep.
But we're looking for talent and that's not always available on the island. So we're recruiting employees from outside of the area, mm-hmm. trying to get people to come to the area and live in that area based on the cost of living. Cost of housing is a huge, huge issue.
Yeah. I mean, being within and involved with the tech sector for better part of 20 years almost, always attracting talent here comes with the equation, well, I can't afford to live here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I could work with you, but I can't afford to live here. Mm-hmm. And that must be an issue for you guys and something you're trying to impact, hey?
It's a huge issue for us. I mean, we have options. We own a facility in New Jersey as well. And if we had to look at the difference in the cost of living to put people into that area versus this area, you know, sometimes it was just on dollars alone, it would be a no-brainer for us. But mm-hmm. we have ties to this community. Our corporate offices are here. We want to support the growth in this area.
All right, so... How many employees did you say? 2,000?
2,000, yeah.
25% of them live out there.
Yeah.
So to both councils, message, clear.
Yep.
Affordable housing. Let's go to transportation. How accommodating have the transportation facilities in Lower Vancouver Island been towards helping some of these employees get to these jobs in a better way?
Not too accommodating.
and actually, just let me throw in there. I mean, like, you know, affordable housing.
I kind of set you up there.
Yes.
Sorry, but affordable housing does have a pretty significant transportation component to it.
It has a huge component.
I mean, what a lot of people don't understand that you know, if you have good transportation infrastructure, then you can give people an opportunity to live someplace that's affordable. If you don't, then you've got a problem.
And a lot of the manufacturing and industrial groups in these areas have got shifts that don't really really tie into what the public transit is used to serving, which is the retail-based side of the business on on Sydney. Everybody thinks of Sydney as the as you said the place where people retire.
Sydney and, by the sea.
Sydney by the sea.
As lovely as that is, exactly. And I love going
and it's
there.
Beautiful, but the people that are working on the east side of the Pat Bay Highway that go right to the into the airport property land and into North Saanich. They got shifts starting as early as 6 a.m. Many of them start at 7. You just can't take public transit and get there in time. So people carpool, and in many cases, we don't attract the people we need to do the job.
Right.
It's a big challenge.
So there's some fundamental issues outside of economic development and growing a business here that have to change. And how have – and I'm talking now to both Terry and yourself – how have the councils been out there? I mean, this issue around Keating Crossroad, I'm not entirely familiar with everything that's going on down there, but that's an economic development engine in of itself. They're battling with council over issues. Talk to me about the relationship with the politicians.
Well,
because we have one coming on in about 5 minutes.
Former.
Well, you know, I've had extensive experience in this area over the last 20 years, and you know, the town of Sydney is very progressive, but it's a catch-22. I mean, they've gentrified the town and attracted a lot of elderly people, and at the same time, because those people coming could afford the higher prices, it basically priced out younger people from that neighborhood, those neighborhoods, and it became more densified, and Sydney's having some challenges now. Because they don't have a youth population. And as Kenny has adequately noted, I mean, those 2,000 people, the vast majority of them are taking their paychecks to West Shore, to Victoria, somewhere else. I mean, and then those communities, those retailers that are down in Sydney by the sea, they need that money. They need those. So it's a catch-22, and the councils really are starting to to clearly focus on getting as many people to stay on that community to generate those kinds of economic
activities. Are they,
Terry? They really are. Sydney is very forward-thinking. Yeah. And, you know, there's some real good thinking right now, and there's a bunch of developments happening in North Saanich. And, you know, it's Ken's group that's been pushing the council and successfully alerting them to the realities of making some changes in the land deals so that you can get more densified housing in North Saanich and certainly in Sydney. And both councils are very aware of it. Their staff, I know I meet their staffs all the time. They're working hard on that. The problem, though, is there's so many costs to the developments, John, and but you can appreciate that. You know, there's sewer, there's water, there's the, you know, you got to get all of the roads and everything all done. And by the time you factor all that into the developer, the price of the development goes up. So it's a bit of a catch-22 going on there.
So that's some innovative ideas have to come
forward. And they are moving forward. Yeah. There are a lot of great developments that are being put on the table in North Saanich and certainly Sydney. And both councils are looking at all of those developments and saying, hey, look, it's key to the development of this community to hold as many people that are working here as possible to generate the revenues, the retail revenues, to keep our businesses and the health of our community healthy.
Well, we did a housing survey recently with the employees, and we got about 750 – we sent out to about 750 employees. We got a 40% response rate on that survey. That was
– that's pretty good.
That's a significant number.
And go ahead.
25% of them live in the Sydney North Saanich, as I had said before. Mm-hmm. 44% expressed interest in purchasing homes and moving to the area if they could.
Just think I'm going to become a developer. Bye.
or let's get transit. I mean, and you know, you can throw this on the table, and you know, we could be speaking for 10 hours about, you know, the difficulties of getting BC Transit and funding transit, you know, in an adequate manner to meet the schedules of industrial plants, and certainly the same thing at our employee base at the airport. You know, when they start at 5:30, some of them start at 4 o'clock in the morning. Where's the bus at that time?
Which is fundamentally shocking. I don't get it. I guess we just have to keep hammering on the door. We need to bring in Manuel for
we've
for
had
the show.
We've had some pretty good success over the last year, moving, you know, 8 move-ins to 30 at the terminal building, but we need a lot more, and then a lot more in that community.
We're just going to take a quick commercial break. We'll be back in a second.
Honey, I'm home.
Hello.
Is the chandelier hooked up?
Yep. Well, not me. Someone else did it.
Who?
Remember Dave?
Yes.
Well, he knows a guy who has a friend whose cousin went to school with the brother of a nephew whose uncle knows some guy. But he was busy, so George did it.
Well, does it work?
It's hooked up. It hangs nice.
But does it work?
All right, I'll call Hool Electric.
You've seen their trucks all over town. Now have a licensed professional from Hool Electric come over to your house to get the job done right the first time. HOULE.ca.
The Royal Museum Shop. Intriguing and unique.
Where did you find that cute mammoth plush?
The Royal Museum Shop. It's a birthday present for my niece, and I bought this beautiful jewelry crafted by a local artist as a memento of my visit to the museum.
There's something for everyone at the Royal Museum Shop. Clothing, jewelry, books, from postcards to original artwork. Many items with a distinctly BC flavor. There's no admission fee, and your purchases support the Royal BC Museum. Whatever the occasion, memories begin at the Royal Museum Shop.
You're hosting a business meeting, but you're not sure where to start. The pressure's on, right? Here's an idea. Consider Highland Pacific Golf. Their meeting room is equipped for all your presentation needs and holds up to 80 people. Enjoy the top-notch catering, have a go at the driving range during breaks, book your business meeting at Highland Pacific Golf. You might be hailed as a meeting room planning hero. Highland Pacific Golf. It's more than just golf. Right behind Vic General. Call 478-GOLF. Online at highlandpacificgolf.com.
It's time for more speedy tips from Speedy Auto's Mike and Kim.
Buying a car through private purchase can be risky business. The previous owner may not tell you or even know about potential problems with a vehicle. That's why Speedy offers full pre-purchase auto inspections.
Before you drop a pile of money buying a car, make sure you don't dump a pile more into repairs. For just $59.90, we'll do a thorough inspection and give you peace of mind before you buy.
Because it's Speedy, you're a somebody. Speedy Auto, 2992 Douglas Street, south of Mayfair, 385-8717.
Hey, Victoria, Brian Higgins here for Arona Bay West Express, centrally located 5 minutes from downtown. At Bay West Rona, we have designers and door specialists on staff for your convenience. Let us design and install your new kitchen, bathroom, or custom-sized door system. Or you can try our line of cash-and-carry kitchen cabinets and countertops. Come and see us, the right people, the right store, the right price. Rona Bay West Express, doing it right 7 days a week on Bay and Wilson in Vic West.
Congestion in your throat? Take a lozenge. Congestion on the roads? Listen to us. First with traffic. If it's happening, it's here. Victoria's News Authority, CFAX 1070.
Welcome back. You're listening to Sunday Morning Public Affairs on CFAX 1070, Victoria's News Authority. My name is Bob Russell. I'm your host. I'm joined by my usual co-host, John Jurisic, and staying in the studio with us is Terry Stewart and Ken Lewis. We've been talking about the Victoria Airport Authority, developments around it, and joining us on the line right now is former MP for Saanich and Gulf Islands, former Cabinet Minister Gary Lund. Welcome to the show, Gary.
Good morning, Bob.
Yeah. Explain to us sort of, you've heard what we've been talking about, and you know what the issue is. And one of the things we've come to is how important affordable housing on the peninsula is to the economic development that's going on out there. Now, you've got some involvement in that area. Why don't you sort of give us some background?
Yes. Well, first of all, thank you for having me on the show. Yes, I'm working on a small lot subdivision out near the airport. There's a huge demand for housing, and you know, whether you use, you know, workforce housing, affordable housing, I mean, there's so many different names. I call it homes for young families, but the reality is you've literally got thousands of people working on the airport lands. You know, there's the Airport Authority, there's Scott Plastics, there's Viking Air, Ramsey's, you've got the new Thrifty Foods Distribution Center. So it's literally in the thousands, and I know the airport employers, they've raised this concern with me and the local chambers saying, listen, 80% of our workforce is commuting to the West Shore. They want to live in the communities that they work in. They want to play in the communities they work in, and they want to get off, you know, off the highway doing that commute. So I've been, since leaving politics, been doing some, working on some projects out in the West Shore. They've been incredibly successful. And, you know, and there's such a demand at the, out in the peninsula that I'm now in the process of just going through North Saanich Council on a rezoning project that would allow us to build 39 homes. And these would be brand new homes. Some have a two-car garage, some have a single-car garage. You know, three bedrooms, two and a half bathrooms, and we'll be able to put those homes on the market, completely finished with appliances, for starting at $399. So it's quite an exciting project, but the demand is enormous, and you know, there's that middle younger families who need to get into the market, and you know, they don't want a condo, they want their own piece of real estate, they want their own yard, and you know, so it's time to do this. So we're quite excited about it.
Hey, Gary, John Jurisic here. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Good morning, John.
So we have councils out there. We have enormous business development, probably to the extent that folks don't know the economic powerhouse that's out there. We have employers in our room here that are saying we need to hire people, and they're not coming here because of affordable housing. Are the politicians in these councils listening to your message, you being the collective you, the developer out there wanting to build housing? And if they're not, why not?
First of all, it's not just me. I mean, there's other projects coming forward as well. I know the Airport Authority is looking at a project, which would be fantastic. You know, they're creating jobs, creating employment opportunities, which is really, really positive. Specifically, I'm dealing with North Saanich Council on this project. And I have to say that the majority of council has been very, very supportive. In fact, in the last municipal election, this was one of their platforms, one of their issues, saying we want to make this happen. Now, it's not unanimous by any stretch of the imagination. I don't think it's any secret. You know, the mayor is very, very opposed to this at North Saanich.
Well, that's shocking to me as a businessman, Gary. I know that it's. I'm struggling to understand why this doesn't work.
Well, she has been opposed. I mean, she has not supported in one instance the vote at all. But you know, the positive side is of the six councillors and the mayor, so a total of seven. The last vote was 5-2 supportive of this moving forward. So that's positive. So I have to say that council, by and large, has been very supportive of this as we're moving forward, and then moving it forward at a very positive pace. You know,
okay.
You've got, you know, people like Ted Daly, Craig Mearns, there's Connie McBride, there's, I'm trying to remember all the councillors.
Yeah,
names.
Yeah.
But it's been 5-2, the last vote, supporting this project going forward, because of the demand for this. And, you know, it's so important that we have all demographics in our community. I'm a big, big believer in that. And if we don't do this, if we don't allow young families in our community, that, you know, it's not healthy for our community at all. So we're quite
Absolutely.
Excited to do this. And, you know, the airport, I call it the airport lands, but it's, you know, it's including Sydney. There's BC Ferries. You know, it's bigger than that.
Yeah.
But it is an economic powerhouse. There's literally thousands and thousands of employees. I mean, I've seen one survey over 2,500, and that was before Thrifty Foods came out with their distribution, and it's growing. And, you know, this is moving the economy, creating jobs, which is really what it's all about.
Gary, Terry indicated that there are some core development costs, utility costs out there that impact the price of housing, new housing. There's transportation related issues, road related issues. How is the development community finding and dealing with these issues out that way? Are you having to build from scratch, or is there some foundation there from which we can work on?
Well, there's, you know, in any development, it's important that the developer pay 100% of the cost. You know, you can't be going to the existing tax base. So when you put in a small subdivision, you know, the developer puts in the sidewalks, the curbs, they repave the streets, they put in the sewer, the water, the hydro, all the underground services. And quite frankly, that's the way it should be. And on top of that, they will pay amenity fees to the municipality for other things that the municipality may need that's outside the subdivision. And that's pretty standard in any municipality. And, you know, again, so we're just going through that process with the municipality, but there is the, you know, we're very close to the sewer treatment plant. It will need a significant upgrade on a pumping station and a line, and you know, we will have to pay for that. You know, that's part of the process. But all the basic infrastructure, we're very close to transit, to the new McTavish interchange and the bus loop there. So it's incredibly positive. And we had a public an information meeting for the public a few nights ago. It's extremely well attended, and overall it was very, very positive. So we're really, really encouraged by this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited. I live out in North Saanich, as you know,
And you kind of know what's going on out there, don't you?
And I'm doing the reverse commute. I'm driving out to the West Shore every morning. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's exciting. I mean, Langford's led the way. Langford, the council out here, has led the way. They've done remarkable things with their community. I mean, it's an incredible place to work. You see the activity out here, the jobs, the recreation is being developed. What, you know, the mayor and all the councillors, Mayor Young and all of his council, what they've been able to do out in the West Shore and out in Langford. And it's time to let some of this, you know, some people have raised concerns. What about, you know, our ruralness of North Saanich? What about this community? And I don't believe this will impact that at all, because there's only certain places that are appropriate for this type of development. This one is just off of Kenora and East Saanich Road, right near the airport. And so there are places that are appropriate. Well, we can still maintain the type of community that we have. So, again, it's been very positive on all fronts, and I think it's, you know, what the Airport Authority is doing is fantastic as well. I mean, creating that employment, creating jobs, I think it's just a real positive for our whole community.
Okay. Hey, Gary, it's Terry. Thanks for the advertisement on what we've been doing, and thanks for all of your political career supporting the economic development of the airport and putting your chin out there, even for the McTavish Interchange.
I'll just warn you, gentlemen, you have 1 minute.
Gary, we're in the very similar circumstance that you are as a developer, having to foot all the bill for all the infrastructure, and it is a costly element, but you know, it is very progressive. In the generation of jobs, but back to what Kenny was saying too, we need people out there, young people out there, that are going to fill those jobs, and we need the housing that's going to accommodate those people that meet those job requirements. And there's a huge synergy here, and you and the developers that are out there echoing those concerns and beating the bushes for those kinds of developments in appropriate areas. I certainly have our full support, and I'm sure Ken would say the same thing from the distributors and the manufacturers too.
Yeah, Gary, we've got about 15 seconds. You quick comment.
Well, just thank you very much, Terry, for the support and the comments. But it is at the end of the day, we are all doing the right thing. We're promoting the economy, we're creating jobs, and we're going to have quite an attractive little subdivision. I'm very, very excited about it. I appreciate your support. Looking forward to you. And I think this is a win-win for everybody. And by working together, we're going to make great things happen for our community.
Super. Yours.
Well, gentlemen, good discussion. Excellent discussion. I want to thank all of you, Terry Stewart from the Victoria Airport Authority, Ken Lewis from C-Star Chemicals and the Sydney Industrial Group, and on the line, Gary Lunn. Thank you very much, Gary, for joining us. We're going to break for news, and we're going to come back and talk about politics, politics, politics.